Thank you, Brother John. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that what you have just saw is your church of tomorrow. Thank you, kids. I don't think it's any secret to any of us that this is Mother's Day. And I want to express my appreciation and my gratitude and ask God's blessings upon each of you mothers, your grandmothers, your great-grandmothers, and if there's any out there that's a great-great-grandmother, we wish you even the best. And we even wish you potential grandmothers, though you may be yet young someday, no doubt you young ladies will be a mother. And so God has given you a special blessing, a special place in life. And we pray that God will bless you in that end. I had intended to read a poem from Helen Steiner Rice, but I looked at my briefcase just now and the book's not there. And I know I'm not going to do justice to it, but I do want to express the feeling that I got from it. God gave us mothers for a special reason. He gave them a love that's beyond what normally we would have. The love of Christ. The love of Christ to teach us the way of life and to guide us in all things. In Ezekiel, Paul refers to it. Ephesians. I can't read this morning, so you're going to have to bear with me. 20th chapter. Sixth chapter in the first verse. Rather. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And that was expressed first by God when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth commandment to obey or to honor our fathers and our mothers. But Paul added another little phrase to that, obey them in the Lord. We pray that all of our children can say that we will obeying our mothers and our fathers in the Lord. And that puts a responsibility on each of us to be sure that we are in the Lord. He promised that to the children of Israel because he was taking them out of the land of Egypt and giving them a land of their own. But we know the story. They didn't follow the Lord. They continued to deteriorate. And as we see them today, they're scattered upon all the face of the earth. And only a very few are in the land that God gave them. He gave us, as Gentiles, this land with the same promise. This is a promised land that we are given. But it has one little catch to it. We have to obey and to serve the God of this land. Just like he told the children of Israel to have no gods before him. And so it is that we have a special responsibility. And though we pray God will bless us as mothers and as fathers, it's in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Sixth verse. Train up a child in a way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We have a very few years to train up our children. And you know, in my day, in the days before me, the mothers stayed home with their children and they trained them up. But things have changed. It would seem now that it takes two breadwinners to supply the needs of most of our families. And so the mothers only have a few hours in the evening sometimes and throughout the night hours to train up their children. And of course the fathers are equally as tied up in responsibilities. And so where do the children go? To the babysitters and to places like where they can take care of them. And we're always not sure what kind of training they get there. So it's very important that as mothers and fathers, and we don't want to leave the fathers out of this because they're just as responsible as the mothers. But I thank God that He gave our mothers that special love, the love of Christ, that they can reach out to our children and succor them, train them, and teach them the ways of God. Also, in the book of John, 20th chapter, we talk about the love of God and the love that Jesus had for mankind. In his last remarks before he died upon the cross, turned to his mother. In the 25th verse of the 20th chapter, Is that what it is? Boy, it's the 19th chapter. And of course, the 20th verse is there on that page, but it's afterwards. So I'm sorry about that. Now, in the 25th chapter, and there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw her mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he unto his disciples, Behold thy mother. And that from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. And so Christ last thoughts was his mother. It's, in one other place it's recorded that they came to Jesus and said, Behold, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are without, wanting to speak to you. And he said, Who is my mother? Who is my brothers? And who is my sisters? And he turned to the congregation, You were my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. Christ loved us all the same. And he gave his life for us. And so it is that as parents, we will give our lives for our children. We have an example of the effects of that in the book of Alma, the 26th chapter. Give you a little background to this story. Alma and the sons of the Messiah had gone down into the land of the Lamanites to teach them and of the ways of Christ, because they was continually warring with the Nephites, and they thought if they could just get the gospel to them that the things would change. And so there was many of the Lamanites was converted, and they made a promise to God when they were converted that they would never again take up arms against their brothers. And so they were brought over to the land of the Nephites, and they were given asylum there. But their own people back home in the old land of Nephi continued a war against them, and they was causing much havoc with the Nephites. And the man by the name of Helaman, I believe it was, took, because of the Lamanites was progressing into their land and giving them all kinds of grief, these Lamanites decided that they would break the promise they made to God to help protect their children and their lands from the Lamanites. But Helaman said, no, you made that promise, you keep it. But their sons said, we didn't make that promise. And we will protect our land. We protect our mothers and our fathers. And so he took 2,000 young men. He called them his sons. And they fought like nobody ever fought before, because they'd been taught by their mothers. In the 26th chapter, and starting with the 55th verse of 26th chapter of Alma, we could not, these young men said, we would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death, and did not think more upon liberty and their father, the liberty of their fathers, than they did upon their own lives. And they did see, and they had been taught by their mothers, that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt that our mothers knew. It came past that I did return unto my 2,000 against the Lamanites, and we were and they who pursued us. And they fought through several battles, and there was not a one of them lost. Not a one. Yes, they suffered loss. They suffered afflictions and from the wars, but there was not a one of them lost, because it was taught by their mothers to have faith in God and to trust. I said it was important, since we as parents do not have as much time with our children as we would like. We rely on somebody else to teach them. And we are very thankful that we can bring them here to church, and there they go through Sunday school classes, and they have other little classes that they have to teach them the way. But you know, this has always been that way. And as I think back to my own childhood and some of the children that I was with at that time, I haven't seen for a long time. I remember one young man. He was a son of a blind man. He had a sister. His name was Lewis. And I think his sister's name was Clonda, if I remember right. They had no mother. But we had a sister who was one of our, well, it was Sister Derry's sister. Her name got away from me right now. But anyway, she was kind of a caretaker for these two children. And they brought them to church. And finally the father died, and I don't know where the children went. But several years ago, as I was working for the light company, I happened to notice this young man that had just started working there with in the powerhouse, and it was Lewis. And I got acquainted with him, and we had quite an association together. And I mentioned one day, I said, asked him if he remembered going to church with me. He said, "Yeah, I think I can remember that. Was that a Baptist church?" He didn't get the training that he needed. And so most of the other young men that I was young with, I have not seen for a long time. Why? Why? So this morning I want to talk to you mothers, as well as you fathers. Teach your children. Teach your children. Whatever time you have, teach your children that there is no other salvation but save through Jesus Christ. Christ was asked one time, which is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22. Verse 36, I believe it is. A lawyer came to Christ and he said, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All the commandments that God gave us are, this is built into them. That sounds like a big order, but just think of what it says. We're to have no God before us, save it be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that brought the children out of the land of Egypt. The God that promised Abraham a land of promise. A God that promised the Gentiles on this land as well as the house of Israel. And it is written that the Gentiles and the house of Israel that do repent will inherit this land. And nobody else. And nobody else. Because that is the promise that God gave us. Teach your children to love the Lord with all their heart, might, mind, and strength. And the neighbor as himself. And you know what that is called, to love your neighbor as yourself? It's called charity. Just plain charity. And it's written that there's, if we have not charity, we are nothing. In the 7th chapter of Moroni, I think it's on page 763 and start with verse 22. "And God also declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there are divers ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which are good, and all things which are good concerning Christ." I think I started the wrong place there. I'm not sure. I supposed to start verse 44, page 767. "But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. Now this is that which can attain your faith, save ye shall have hope. And what is your hope for? Behold, I say unto you that you shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, be raised from the into eternal life, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. Without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, I can say unto you that you cannot have faith and hope, save to be meek and lowly in heart. If so, his faith and hope is vain. His faith and his hope is vain. Let's be meek and lowly of heart. Not proud, not stiff-necked, not think more highly of yourself than he ought, as we'll read later. If a man be meek and lowly in heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he hath not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have charity, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is a pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whosoever found possessing of it the last day do well with them. And that's a little poem of Helen Steiner Rice, that the love of Christ is in our mothers. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of your heart that you will be filled with this love that he may hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of Jesus Christ, that ye may become his sons and the sons of God, that when he shall appear, you shall be like him, for he will see him as he is, and he may have his hope that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Also Mosiah, the 11th chapter, I think it is, second chapter. Don't worry, man. Starting with 20. Eighteenth verse. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge and the glory of God, or if ye have known the goodness and have tasted of his love, and received the remission of your sins, which causeth exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you shall remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and longsuffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves in the depths of humility, calling upon the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken of by the mouth of the angel. Behold, I say unto you that if you do all this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And you shall grow in the knowledge and the glory of him which created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render every man according to his dues, and shall not suffer your children to go hungry or naked, neither will you suffer them that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one to another, and to serve the devil who is a master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being the enemy to all righteousness. But you'll teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And you will also, yourselves, will succor those that stand in need of your succor, and you will minister of your substance to him that standeth in need. This is King Benjamin's words as he spoke to his people before he went to his God. He had fought all of his life and struggled to teach his people, and this is one of the last times he talked to them And he told them to teach their children, to teach their children, and also to show them the way. Because he said that what we do, they will do. Also in the third chapter of Mosiah, in the third chapter, in the eighth, starting with the eighth verse. Following his King Benjamin's talk with the people, he asked him to make a covenant with their God, and they did. And now because of the covenant which he had made, you should be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. And for behold, this day ye have spiritually begotten you. For you say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free. And there is no other head wherein you can be made free. And this is something we need to get across our children. There is no other way, no matter what pleasures or excitement that the world can offer us, there is no other way for salvation. I would that you should take upon you the name of Christ and all that you have entered into this covenant with Christ, that you would be obedient to it in the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whoever doeth this shall be found on the right hand of God. For he that knoweth the name which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And now I would come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon him the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that you should remember also that this is the name that I said I would give unto you, that never should be blotted out except to be through transgression. Therefore, take heed that you do not transgress that the name be blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you that I should remember, retain the name always written in your heart, that you are not found on the left hand of God, but that you hear and know the voice of, that you are called, and also the name of which he will call you. Christ in his word said, you know, I am the good shepherd, and I go before my sheep, and I know my sheep, and they know my name. And this is what King Benjamin was telling his people. He told them earlier that he's going to give them a new name. And that was the name of Christ. And most of us adults here this morning have taken upon us that name of Christ. And the commandment is that we should always remember that, but that we should teach our children that. If we would go to the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi. Starting with the 8th verse, I believe it is. No, 14th verse. And it came to pass when the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching, this was after Christ came here and taught the people, established his church, called his 12 apostles, and went back to his God. And they continued to preach and care for the people, and this is one of the things that was happening. It came to pass when the disciples of Jesus had journeyed and were preaching in the things which they had been both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. It came to pass the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, what will ye that I give unto you? And he said to him, Lord, we will that thou should tell us a name whereby we should call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures? which say ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name, for by this name shall be called to the last day. And whosoever taketh upon my name and endureth the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whosoever shall do whatsoever you shall do it in my name. Therefore, she shall call the church in my name, and she will call upon the Father in my name, and he will bless the church for my sake. And how can it be my church to be called in my name? For if a church be called in the name of Moses, then it is Moses' church. If it's called in the name of a man, then it's a man's church, the church of a man. But if it's called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Teach your children that this is the church of Christ, and it is built upon the gospel of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We hear quite often that, you know, it don't make any difference which church you belong to. We're all going to the same place. We're just taking a different road. Don't believe it. Teach your children that this is the church of Christ. You know, there's a big disputation in the world today about what happened to the church of Christ established in Jerusalem. Some of them claim that their authority goes clear back to Christ, but they have not read the scriptures. Paul said there become a great falling away before the end come. Amos says that there be a drought in the land, a drought in the land when then you went before the hearing of the word of God. And that happened. It happened about 500 A.D. It dwindled before that, but it really went away about 580 or somewhere along in A.D. And it lasted until in the 1200s. It's called the Dark Ages. And you know, it's amazing what happened during that period of time. The world went backwards because God was not with them. They deteriorated. The word of God was not heard anymore. But in the 14th chapter of Revelation, it said, I saw another angel flying through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto every creature upon the earth. Let me turn to that so I don't misquote it. 14th chapter of Revelation. Sixth verse. And I saw another angel flying through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because he had made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornications. There's two things in that little reading right there that we need to remember and to teach our children. Earlier in that Revelation, it talks about the church. In the 12th chapter, it talks about the church looking like a woman, clothed in the sun and a crown of 12 stars on her head, and a moon under her feet. And she was with child, a man child that was soon to be born. But the dragon was there. This is something else that we don't always remember, that up to this time, according to the word we read in the book of Job, Satan would go back and forth. But at this time, Satan was cast out of heaven. And he came into the earth and plagued the earth. And he wanted to destroy that man-child. But the man-child was caught up into heaven and to his throne. But the dragon made war with the woman, and she's carried away into the wilderness, where she was kept for a time and a half a time, or 1,260 years. But the dragon still made war with her children. And the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood, the water the dragon put out of his mouth. And then when the woman was saw later, she looked different. She was riding on the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and she was clothed in purple and scarlet. And she had a great inscription across her head, Babylon, the mother of harlots. What happened to the church? It fell into apostasy. But he brought it back. He sent an angel, that's much of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to every creature upon the earth. That happened 1260 days later, years later. When Joseph Smith went to the woods to pray, wanting to know what church he should join, he was told, join none of them with their creeds and abomination before me. And he finally, eventually gave him a book, records that he could translate, and also the Urim and Thummim to translate them with. It wasn't translated by wisdom of men. It was the Book of Mormon was translated by the power of God in the words of today. Teach your children to take upon them the name of Christ. There's a little pamphlet downstairs there. I hope maybe we take a chance to pick it up and read it. Does it make a difference what church I belong to? You better believe it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. Christ also said that everyone that says, Lord, Lord, I will not accept, because of great deception in the earth. And they're teaching from teaching men by the teaching of the doctrines of men and not the words of Christ. Teach your children that this is the Church of Christ. No, it's important that we learn a lot of these little Bible stories, because it shows the power of God and His will. But teach your children to take upon them the name of Christ. And there's only one way to do that. To take upon us that name, as was there in the Book of Mormon in the days of King Benjamin, even before Christ's time. That they should take upon them that name and make that covenant with God through baptism, immersion, not sprinkling, not just pouring water on their head, but to bury them. Paul says that you're buried in the likeness of Christ and you're resurrected a new man. Now, I got a little book at home. It's called Jesus and His Times. And I'm somewhat disappointed in it, because they said it just doesn't tell you how Christ was baptized. And I don't know how blind they can be, because it said he went down in the water and John baptized him, and then he came straight up out of the water. And the Spirit of God, like a dove, landed upon him and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. That's the way to be baptized. Not just a sprinkle. It has to be buried. You bury the old man, and you're raised a new man with the name of Christ, a child of God. Teach your children these things, that they will not be deceived or follow their comrades into other faiths, because we're not all going the same place. Those roads lead in all directions, but there's only one that leads to the throne of God. And that's through the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said there, in if it's called the name of Moses, then it's Moses' church. But if it's called the name of man, it's a man's church. And it's called in my name, in Christ. And Christ said, if it's called in my name, then it's my church. If it's built upon my gospel. And again, that is something we need to be real careful of, because there are substitutes there. There are many churches of Christ. I have down in the office every once in a while, we had somebody say, well, my town, there's a church of Christ there. I said, is that you folks? No. No, that's not us. That's not us. There's a church of Christ. It's called Camelites. And there's probably two, and I don't want to just point out just anybody, but There's two divisions of those. There's a music and an animal music. One of them, they'll sing, but they won't have musical instruments in their church. And some of them do. But there's even this Church of Christ was divided. Even this Church of Christ was divided. And it's carrying various names. And so we want to make sure that they teach the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Nothing else. True, there's other books and there's history and it helps. But our gospel is in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon tells us that when that book comes forth to the Gentiles, which we are, it came through Joseph Smith, and some people say that Joseph Smith was the house of Ephraim. Nevertheless, it says it was given to a Gentile. And God gave him the wherewith, the Thummim and Thummim, to translate it. And it says when that book comes unto the Gentiles, it will be the beginning of what is called the great and the marvelous work. What is a great and marvelous work? The accomplishment of God's will that he made to Abraham when he was a young man, that through his seed the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that meant that he would get Christ would come through their seed. But also that he would give them a land. The land from the rivers of Ethiopia to the land to the river of Egypt. The land of Palestine. And they inhabited that land for only a short period of time, but were driven out and scattered because of iniquity. But he has promised that he will remember that. He will put into them a new heart, a heart that we're talking about here, a humble heart, a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone, a heart that will listen to the word of God. And we're living in the last day. I cannot say that the Gentile times is closed, but it's closing. It's closing. And God is taking this gospel back to the house of Israel, and they're accepting it with open arms. And only the Gentiles that repent be numbered with them and inherit this great land of ours. A land of liberty, a land of freedom, a choice land. But most of all, it's the only way to have that joy that only God can give us. If we just had the charity that's mentioned there in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, but also in the 7th chapter of Moroni, the joy that we have is unspeakable. It's a joy that we cannot explain to anyone else until God touches them with his Holy Spirit. And so I leave you a few of these thoughts this morning, hoping that you would accept them. I'm not trying to teach us, our mothers, how to be mothers, but I'm just trying to tell you how God wants them to be, how he wants us to be. For we cannot shirk our responsibility and say, well, I'm not a mother, I'm a father. But I better be a good father. I better be a good father. Or will not only my children suffer, but so will I. And so will my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. My prayers are with you each and every one. And I pray God will bless us that we will work together to accomplish the great goal that lies before us. And to you, mothers, happy Mother's Day.